quite a week when it comes to math and engineering. And tonight, no exception. My guest tonight at the big table is the top engineer at a $25 billion global healthcare company. Corliss Murray has a couple of formal titles at Abbott Laboratories, but she's made a career out of busting out of those traditional roles. Ms. Murray started as an intern for IBM back in 1975, and even though there were very few women and African Americans in the field of mathematics and engineering, she continued to break down barriers. Today, not only is she a senior vice president at one of Chicago's most influential corporations, but she has single-handedly made sure that the company gives opportunities to young women and minorities who otherwise would be told that science, math, and engineering is not for them. Tonight, we talk about opportunities, obstacles, and engineering with my guest, Ms. Corliss Murray. Ms. Murray, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Justin. I'm excited to be with you.
It's great to have you. I joked with you right before that this has been an overwhelming week for science, math, and everything on the download. So I feel like all week I've been preparing for this interview. But, you know, you have such an interesting story, and I kind of mentioned it in the lead, just, you know, as you sit right now as a senior vice president at Abbott Laboratories, one of the biggest corporations in the Chicago area, if not the country, not the world. You started as an intern in 1975 at IBM. Take us there. Let's start our conversation there. That wasn't necessarily where you wanted to go as a young kid at that point to get into engineering.
Yeah, Justin, it was not where I ever imagined that I would go at all. You know, quite frankly, I, similar to a number of students, was very good in math and science, and I wanted to do something with it to be able to make a difference in life for my family. And then for myself, but I didn't know what to do with
right.
it. So my ninth grade math teacher, along with our guidance counselor, approached us, and I had an opportunity to interview with IBM for an intern opportunity. And essentially what happened was I was assigned to work with a field engineer. Working with that field engineer just opened up new avenues for me that I never thought would be possible.
What did you know about engineering at that time? I mean, I think of engineering, and I think – I mean, I think I've read this at some point, too. It's like trains, like the idea of like, what did right. you know about the field of engineering before you got in?
I knew nothing about the field of engineering, quite frankly. So you might say, for God's sake, why would you even want to do it? but I was excited to do something really to make a difference. As I said, when I told my family that I was interested in, my grandfather actually thought exactly what your comment was. It's why would you want to drive trains? But it was more than that. And being able to work side by side with an engineer working in the field on, at the time, mainframe computers, which the students that we work with have never heard of a mainframe.
Right.
But basically, when you step back and you look at it, it was a way for me to get exposed to the electromechanical side of computers, if you will, that exposed me to something that I never would have thought was even possible.
When I think about it, as well, and like I said, I've been preparing for this week just by doing segments. Engineering is a concept that, you know, I have a hard time, because engineering can mean a lot of different things. But the way it was explained to me this week is that engineering is trying to solve problems. That at the end of the day, that's what an engineer does, to take math and science and the things that we all learned in school and in much more advanced ways, but being able to apply that to the problems of our time in whatever field it might be.
Well, the engineers that you consulted with earlier this week were very on point. The beauty of the program I would describe that that we're offering is STEM. So it's engineering, the E in STEM, but we expose the students to other areas of science and technology in addition to that. When I think about even the studio that you have here, there's nothing here that an engineer didn't touch in some way. And so what we do is we take the theory that these young people are exposed to and we demystify it, so we make it become a reality. And so as they're taking classes in school, it really helps to make things more practical mm-hmm. for them.
So that's part of the STEM initiative. And I want to talk all about what you're doing at Abbott and giving opportunities. Let's go back to your life and your career. When you had the opportunity to intern at IBM and work with a field mm-hmm. engineer, what's the next step for you? I mean, because I mentioned the lead as well. Women at the time in the mid-70s, not a lot of women in this field. Minorities as well. I mean, you
right.
put that combination together, and you've talked about in your life about the people who have passed you over for promotions in other places, mostly because they just don't see women or African Americans in leadership roles in engineering. Talk about that moment where you made the move from intern to job and the obstacles that stood in the way.
Yeah, that's really a good push. You know, I would say that when I graduated from high school, my first internship while with IBM, I had a second. And it was actually with a military shipyard and upon graduating directly from high school. So I had two opportunities before I even began college. Then I interned during college in petrochemical. Jeez. So if you talk about, you know, the opportunity to really learn things the hard way and really not be surrounded by anyone hardly that looked like you, I had no choice but to make that leap. I attended an HBCU, and I do believe that that really helped prepare me for what I would face in life. But you need a support system. So while I think with what you've read, and I would share with you, that my family didn't understand the field of engineering that I had interest in at all, but what they did understand and what they were committed to was education. They were committed to helping to provide the necessary support so that I could achieve whatever I chose to achieve in life. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I aspired for something much larger, much more impactful than where I was at the time.
Right.
And so I didn't know how not to work to be able to achieve it. So when you talk about being able to reach your full potential, this really became a mechanism for me to be able to do that.
Right. Well, I mean, this it's interesting because your story is similar to one that was in Hollywood in the last year, Hidden Figures, the movie about engineers at NASA. But the same threads kind of play out. I mean, for you to go through college, to want to break into the world, even with the internships, to break into the world of engineering, I mean, there were people around you. They just didn't look like you. They didn't share the same experiences. Talk about that, you know, the moments for someone who is in that situation where there are so many people that either A, you just don't have any reference point with, and B, that have some sort of prejudice or bigotry that don't want you there. Like, talk about that. I mean, that mental, the sort of adversity that you have to get past that a lot of people just can't even understand.
But see, you actually are just hitting on one of the core things that we are working to try to do. And you do have to learn to get past it. I associate it with the heart and the head. Have to find ways to come together. And you know, my mother always stressed to me that you have as much right to success as anyone else. So I had to find a way to allow the heart to keep the head going, to persevere through anything that seemed to be getting in the way, creating a barrier to being able to overcome what was necessary. When you step back and you look at the movie Hidden Figures, you know, it's a very powerful movie in so many ways. But for me, it was also very mixed emotions. And I had to wait to look at it when it became, you know, where I could look at it at home, because I wasn't sure that I could handle looking at it in public. Mm-hmm. So looking at what these women, and let's focus on the three in particular, I would describe it as in each case, they were a first. And my life has patterned that. So the era in which we were entering our respective fields in, there are so many similarities that young people today, women and minorities, still encounter. There was research done not very long ago that was showing that we still struggle to try to understand, why are we not attracting more females and minorities in the field of engineering?
Let's do this. I want to take a break so we stay on time. And then let's go into that question. Let's figure out why that, I mean, we're not going to figure that out in the 20 minutes we have left. Okay. But I'd love to talk about that issue and what you're doing and what Abbott's doing to try and at least entertain the question and try to figure out solutions. In studio with me, Corliss Murray. She's a senior vice president at Abbott Laboratories and Engineering. Her actual title is Senior Vice President of Quality, Regulatory, and Engineering Services at Abbott. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. Stay with us. It's a download here on 720 WGN. My guest at the big table tonight, Corliss Murray. She's the Senior Vice President of Quality, Regulatory, and Engineering Services at Abbott Laboratory. She's top engineer at Abbott. That's how I've been saying. Is that accurate?
That's acceptable, yes.
That's acceptable. I love that. Well, we're talking, I mean, really what we're talking about is getting girls and young women and minorities involved in STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And you have developed this is a bit out of the job description of you know, the idea of top engineer, but a mentorship program, a high school STEM internship program. Talk about this. Talk about why you think it's important to have this internship program at a place like Abbott.
Yeah, Justin, earlier before the break, we were talking a little bit about my life. Mm-hmm. And what I will tell you is that The program is founded based upon my personal experiences. I recognize what it has done for me to demystify engineering. And so at Abbott, I've had the good fortune of being able to work with our university relations partners and being able to develop a similar program to mimic my own experiences. These young people are brought in from different walks of life, different socioeconomic levels. We work with high schools across the U.S. at multiple Abbott locations, and we're able to help them to understand the concept of engineering. So they may have a generalization mm-hmm. of what they believe they want to do, probably more than what I had when I was in high school.
Or what I have right now at 42, okay. But that's okay.
Right. And what we do is expose them to professional engineers and scientists, IT professionals, cybersecurity. We expose them to a number of different areas around STEM fields. And they're able to work side by side with these professionals to understand the concept of it.
The big question, and we'll probably not be able to answer this question before the news with Bob coming up here at the bottom of the hour, but the question is, what is keeping young girls, minorities, from getting involved in science, technology, engineering, math? We see the city of Chicago and Chicago Public Schools really put a push at STEM. We've seen a lot in the news about sort of trying to get more and more people at least exposed to science, technology, math careers. But what do you think it is that minority groups and women in particular haven't found a footing when it comes to being engineers?
One of the things that we see in research, and this has been something that was out not very long ago in one of the national papers, and that is that regardless of how many ways you cut the research, it boils down to a couple of fundamental things. And it's not necessarily an inability or a lack of desire to get in, but it's even once they're in, keeping them. And the biggest gap is not seeing people that look like them and not being able to overcome barriers. We talked a little bit about Hidden Figures. What those women did was persevere over some very strong obstacles. A lot of those obstacles still exist in too many places today.
That's hard to believe. I mean, it's hard to believe. It's true. It's hard to believe. I mean, is the engineering world, which is a very diverse word, I don't want to say a diverse field, but a diverse word, like what engineering means. Is it a boys' club? I mean, is it just is that where white men go to find careers?
Well, I would tell you that universities continue to graduate fewer number of women and minorities than what they do any other population.
Even with all the initiatives and things that are happening around and the big research papers and the articles, we're not seeing any sort of movement in terms of women and minorities getting involved?
But in women and minorities need more exposure to training earlier. And a lot of schools are doing a great job with bringing in programs to be able to help expose these young people. But the challenge the schools have and the challenge communities and families have is helping to support them to understand it and what to do with it. That's where companies come in. And that is a plug that I feel very strongly that Abbott has filled by helping to make this a reality for these young people. So when I use the word demystify, it truly is that. It's being able to expose them to technical projects that are with researchers, that are with scientists, technicians, so that they understand and their passion and their desire to be able to overcome and achieve grows more and more every single day.
Corliss Murray is my guest. She is the Senior Vice President of Quality, Regulatory, and Engineering Services at Abbott Laboratories. She also is the creator of the High School STEM Internship Program that Abbott Labs gives opportunities to kids all around the country. All right, let's take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. And we'll come back, and I want to talk more about what's standing in the way. You know, we can use your story, even as, you know, because all I have done is really focusing on how you got started. But as you've risen through the ranks to be senior vice president at a place like Abbott, I mean, you've had to deal with professional adversity your entire life, your entire career. So we'll talk about that coming up here on The Download. Stay with us. Thanks, Bob. It's The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Corliss Murray. She is the Senior Vice President of Quality, Regulatory, and Engineering Services at Abbott Laboratories. She's a top engineer at Abbott. She's also responsible for the High School STEM Internship Program, which we're talking about why young girls, women, people of color continue to skip the idea of being an engineer or using it as a career. And it is interesting because, you know, when I think of the, I guess the stereotype of what I'll think of an engineer, I do think of people of color. I think of Indian and Asian men, mostly, you're right. But the concept that there seems to be, when I think of engineers, a foreign component where more foreign engineers are coming into the country to work in places like Abbott Laboratories, do they have the same problems in India and Asia and other places where they're not having the same sort of gender equality that we're kind of looking for?
Yeah, I can't really address specifically the total mix of engineers in India. I can tell you that India graduates a huge number of engineers compared to most countries. But that being said, you know, looking at what we're striving to do here within the U.S. footprint, particularly right now, the makeup of our high school program is fairly diverse. So when you look at probably 67% approximately are female and roughly around 57% are minority, representing multiple ethnicities, including those of Indian descent, Hispanic descent, African-American, and other. And so when we come back and we take a look at it, I think it's important to, I put it in the context of the population of women working. Mm-hmm. So if you look on average, roughly around the workforce is comprised of, on average, 50% women.
Okay.
But less than 30% of that are working in STEM fields. 4% of engineers coming out of universities today are African-American engineers in the field of engineering. And so there is a lot of work yet to be done. But the problem is, one, getting young people into these fields, and then it's retaining them mm-hmm. after they've actually graduated.
You know, it's interesting too. I mean, really, it's a movement and initiative to just get to base level where to mirror population. I mean, the idea of seeing these numbers be way less than, like you said, women who work is startling. I wonder if you're talking about a high school mentorship program, and even before that, you talk about elementary schools. What's standing in the way? I mean, as you try to get kids interested and involved in STEM and science and technology, or even careers in that field, how do you balance that with the curriculum and the needs of public education, standardized testing, or the idea of this is what we're teaching in math, this is what was told for the Common Core, we're doing it. We don't care what the careers are. We just need to get this kid from 7th to 8th grade.
Right. You know, I have to respect the programs that the public education system has to address. But there is much companies can do similar to what we're doing. So when you look at Abbott, while tonight we're talking, you know, mostly about the high school STEM program, Abbott has contributed well over $44 million to elementary programs for family science nights, middle school programs with STEM camps, with the Chicago Urban League mm-hmm. working with them. So we have to really continue to reach these children at every stage of life. Now, the schools specifically that we work with for the high school program, those schools have curriculums that are centered around Project Lead the Way or an international baccalaureate program.
Okay.
What those do is those are curriculums that are in addition to some of the standard things that a school requires for graduation. So these are students that are going above and beyond. We're reaching out and we're partnering with these schools. And partnership is critical, because what we try to do is connect the company, the community, the family, and the schools.
And I get that. I mean, the concept of STEM or baccalaureate school, you know, specific schools, I get the idea of partnering with them. But when you talk about the sort of basic neighborhood school in a suburb or in Chicago that is just doing, you know, it's a school, maybe it's not involved with STEM or science, math, how do you get kids in those schools to recognize that the math that they're working on, the science that they're working on, could be a pathway for future career?
By companies doing some things like what we're doing, which you go into those schools and you help them with family science nights. You you take material and engineers and scientists into those neighborhoods, and they are directly sharing their experiences. They're talking about some of the things that they've gone through in life. And many of us, you know, are coming from backgrounds very similar. You know, I attended an inner city school. you know, in Dallas. And so being able to share those things with these young people so that they can understand that we weren't all born with silver spoons in our mouth, that there are paths that we had to take, and they should aspire to achieve as much in life as the next person, and they deserve to be able to do that. And I do think that more companies have to come in and take on that ownership to be able to help to drive programs that will go into the neighborhoods to help make a difference.
Corliss Murray is my guest at the big table tonight. She's a senior vice president at Abbott Laboratories, one of the top engineers there. We're talking about getting young people, specifically girls and young women and minorities as well, more involved in careers in engineering. You know, I think about your story, and we've spent most of the time about how you get these kids interested. There's another component, and you've mentioned it a couple times in the interview, about retention, about this idea of people getting into the field and recognizing, because there aren't a lot of people that are like them, and they run into professional adversity in other areas, not unlike you did in your career, and say, this is not for me. I'm not making my way in this field, and I'm going to go do something else. How do you deal with, once you recruit the kids to come in, the fact that they are going to be minorities in a system that doesn't have, once you get past, your internship program, doesn't have a lot of support?
Right. One of the things that we teach in the program is each one, reach one. We want our students to not only benefit from what they're exposed to, we want them to have a passion for giving back and helping to make a difference in the world. And I will tell you that they do. They care deeply. We have students, our program is now 6 years in the making, and we have students that have graduated from college that are in our professional development program, and we have a number of them that are now in our college program. They're helping. They're serving as mentors. They support on the campuses as ambassadors. So they're trying to help make a difference. The ones at the high school, we can go to high school looking to hire maybe two students from that particular school. We'll have 30 or 40 students show up for an interview. So that means that the ones that are selected are going back into those schools and helping to make a difference. We have to help them to overcome adversity. Mentors, talking to them honestly about some of the things we've encountered. A lot of these students are also dealing with hardships at home. Mm-hmm. And that is what is their heartfelt driver to being able to help them to want to be successful in these careers. So they have a personal motivation, and we have to expose them to how do you overcome these obstacles, because they're going to happen. Mentors, assignment managers, all these people come together as a team around them to be able to help make a difference in what they do.
A lot of those mentors, you'd want to see them in a situation like yourself where you've had to overcome professional adversity. Let's talk about your story. I mean, there have been times, and it's documented. I was reading the story. Mary Mitchell did a column on you not too long ago just about there are times when then they were just, you were told to your face. They're like, we just can't have an African-American woman running the engineering department of this company. Sorry. Come back. You can have a different level. You can be middle. That's fine. But we're not looking for you to be in a leadership position. Talk about that. Talk about the concept of being qualified, being in a position where you are running circles around your people, who your peers, and being passed over because of the color of your skin or because of your gender.
Yeah, you know, the thing for me is I don't know how to give up. I think I've really become stubborn enough to be able to hang in there and achieve what I knew I could achieve. So the more I potentially maybe doubt it, the more I strive to do more. I want to just bounce quickly to what an observation that I made as I was looking at Hidden Figures. They were not overly aggressive with how they went about addressing things. They did it with dignity. They did it with grace. Mm-hmm. And they did it with conviction. And I do believe that my path has led me to something similar. And I would say that what we strive to help expose these young people to is identical to that. What the company that I have the great privilege of working for has done, I think it's made it possible for us to enable creating an environment where these folks can understand how to go about doing these things. But the mentors that they have don't have to look just like them. They have to be committed to wanting to make a difference in their life.
They don't have to have the same experiences.
No,
right?
They do not.
You know, you mentioned environment. I mean, I'm just fascinated by, you know, the moments in your career as you've risen the ranks to senior vice president, top engineer at Abbott Laboratories. I mentioned that $25 billion global healthcare company. You know, I just wonder, like, when you're in those situations in your career where it, you know, there are obstacles, adversity, there's professional adversity in your play, not personal, professional, where people are saying, we don't want you. What is it that makes you push past that? You know, tell me about, like, the what was it about your makeup, who you are, that you said, you know what, I'm not going to let these people, you know, make these judgments on who I am by how I look.
It's simple, because if I do that, then that means that I'm handing over a win to someone that I choose to be the one to win. And so when you step back and you look at it, I believe fundamentally that I have a right. I've been given this huge opportunity in life by being placed in a situation where I could help to make a difference for someone else and others, and thankfully many others in this case. That means that I have to remain convicted and committed to driving what's necessary to be able to continue to help pave the way. And I almost look at it as like, how can I not find ways to strive through things and be able to help make a difference? Because I've been given that privilege and that opportunity, I have to find ways to be able to help others to be able to do the same thing. Because these kids aspire. They have high aspirations.
Yeah.
And they just don't necessarily know how to do it.
I mean, the logical question, and it's already a question that you've answered, but the logical next question is, you know, will the kids recognize the things that the generations before them had to go through? And you've said in this interview that they still have to go through it. And when it comes to the engineering field, that there's still a long way to go for kids of color or young girls who want to get into this field.
The generation of the talent that we're working with is amazing. These students are smart. They're committed. They're ambitious. They're caring. They're giving. They want to make a difference in society. We have students at Justin who, and one example is a parent is Aziel. And this young man has a situation where he decided he wanted to go into nursing. He wanted to go into nursing because he wanted to be able to help solve diseases that what his mother is going through. And so what we do is place him in an area within our company so he can get exposed to what that really would look like. Mm-hmm. If anything, maybe it will just help him to pave the way a bit more. These students are so committed to being able to achieve great things in life, but we just have to continue to show them how. And that's what we try to expose them to.
You know, my last question, and it's one that I just thought about in that answer. I mean, how often do you see engineering? I mean, when you think about the field of engineering, it really, like we said at the beginning, is this concept of taking the things that you learn, math, science, technology, engineering, and applying it to problems that need to be solved. How often do you see students recognize a light bulb go off that it's something that they can give back, they can make a difference, or it's personal in the way that they want to get into a field because of something that a problem they needed to solve in their own life?
Very often. I would say probably, you know, 60 to 70% of the students that we work with, they've had some life-changing event that has led them to at least explore the field of engineering. Now, again, these are students that have a strong indication that they want to go into engineering or they want to be a scientist of some sort, but they don't know necessarily what that means. So you will see them change their interests or their discipline as they go through the program. But what we do is help to further solidify that. So it's I think of it as an opportunity for them to reach their potential in life, but we want to help them fully be, you know, satisfied as they're striving to do those things.
Corliss Murray is a Senior Vice President of Quality, Regulatory, and Engineering Services at Abbott Laboratories. She's also the woman who brought the high school STEM internship program to Abbott Labs. Ms. Murray, thanks for being here. Thanks for telling your story. And we look forward to many engineers coming through the field and solving the problems of tomorrow through your program. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.